fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Physical activity, consistent sleeping patterns, and limited screen time are important factors when adhering to the 24-hour national guidelines for those aged from birth to 17 years. The Australian 24-hour movement guidelines create healthy and safe routines for these age groups to ensure that they live at their healthiest. We are joined by Anne Fitzgerald, Senior Physiotherapist from a Child and Adolescent Community Health. Welcome to Fitter Happier.
Thank you, Georgia.
It's lovely to have you here. Let's talk about the new Australian 24-hour movement guidelines. A little bit of a mouthful saying it all together. They've been developed for children. Why do Australian adolescents and children need guidelines for movement?
Well, the Australian Health Survey around 2011-12 actually showed that only one in three kids and only one in 10 adolescents actually undertake the recommended 60 minutes of physical activity a day, which was a little concerning. So over the years, guidelines have been developed, and these are the most recently released guidelines to help facilitate positive health outcomes for all Australian kids and young people. And it's irrespective of gender, cultural or linguistic background, geographical location, or the socioeconomic of the status of the family. They're available on the Australian Department of Health website, and they're broken down into two sections. There are recommendations for the early years, the birth to 5-year age group, and then also recommendations for older children and young people aged 5 to 17.
Okay, so we know it's important for adults to lead a healthy lifestyle to stay active. I'll never forget the Find 30 campaigns, which is now Find 60, I believe. But why in particular is it so important for adolescents and children to be finding this active or to stay active?
Well, I think participation guidelines came in because we used to presume that children were just automatically active.
Yeah, you do think that. Lunchtime, they're running around the oval and...
Yeah, but in fact, that's not actually the case these days with different demands on families and society. And in fact, lack of physical activity in kids has exactly the same negative effects as it does on adults. It can lead to obesity, it can predispose to cardiovascular disease or diabetes, and lack of exercise has even been shown to be related to anxiety and depression. So unfortunately, because physical inactivity is becoming recently more part of today's lifestyle, these guidelines have come out to help encourage children and young people to improve their activity levels.
So the guidelines are from newborns to 17. Why, like, how do you exercise babies?
Well, interestingly, it's really about assisting the parents to allow the babies more time to move. Rather than exercise, it's actually allowing more movement time and movement opportunity for small children and babies. Young children can actually spend a lot of time in sedentary behaviours, if you think about it, through sitting in car seats, being in strollers, being in high chairs, you know, even in a bike seat. So frequent sessions of physical activity are really important for littlies and toddlers to promote normal development. Small children shouldn't be sedentary or inactive for any more than an hour, and even that is a long time, except when they're sleeping. So, you know, we try to encourage parents to make activity fun. Whenever possible, let the kids choose the activities that they want to do, because then they're much more likely to stick with them. And obviously, we're encouraging parents to practice healthy movement patterns and healthy lifestyle habits themselves so that they're really good role models for their kids.
So an hour, that's crazy, because that's like, what, half of a movie? So, you know, if you're sticking a movie on for your child to sit down and relax, maybe get some me time as a parent, that's 2 hours. So, I don't know, maybe take a break halfway through and get up, do some star jumps or something.
Yeah. Well, look, what's very interesting about this is that sedentary behaviour is actually, what it actually means is sitting or lying down for long periods of time. That's any time except when you're sleeping. And sedentary behaviour is actually strongly associated with poor health outcomes for adults and children, as we mentioned earlier. So we try and recommend that this sedentary behavior is broken up by movement breaks frequently. So if kids are spending time sitting or lying down, it's a really good idea to break it up momentarily. Let's hop up and go out and do something in the garden for a few minutes, or even, you know, run up the stairs and get something for me. Just break up that movement pattern so the children aren't sitting in that one position for large periods of time. Other than that, really, as well as that hour, we actually recommend that there needs to be kind of several hours of light physical activity during the day. So kids moving around, playing, any kind of unstructured active play. So for younger kids with toys, or older kids, bikes, skateboards, hopscotch, walking, you know, dancing, just having fun and moving around.
Because if this isn't happening, there's certain health risks for children and adolescents. What are these health risks if they're not staying physically active?
Well, unfortunately, the health risks are similar to those that we see in adults. The possible health risks would include weight gain. Children can develop poor strength and endurance from lack of exercise. Mental fatigue is a factor. There is always increased vulnerability to illness if you're not fit and healthy, and an increased vulnerability to mental illness has also shown up as well. Children can have a lack of agility and coordination from not developing their movement skills, and we can even see delayed development in small children from a lack of opportunity to move.
On Fitter Happier right now is speaking to Anne Fitzgerald about the Australian 24-Hour Movement Guidelines. Now, Anne, let's talk about, we know that prevention is key for optimal health, but how important, we were just talking about getting up and moving and not every hour, you just suggested, but let's now talk about one of my favourite things, which is sleep. How important is sleep to a child's life?
Sleep is obviously essential for a healthy child. You know, a well-rested child is generally a happy, active child, as most parents would know the next day, and most adolescents themselves would know. They feel better after a good night's sleep. Sleep was added into the guidelines rather than just having physical participation guidelines, because it is equally important in a child's day. The whole 24 hours matters. It matters that they are active, that they are rested. So the recommendations say that infants should have between 12 and 17 hours a day, dependent on their age. Toddlers generally need between 11 and 14 hours, and that's including naps. The recommendations also say that children between 5 and 13 years should have between 9 and 11 hours of uninterrupted sleep a night. And I know most parents would love that as well. And then young adolescents 14 to 17 years, the ideal is that they should have 8 to 10 hours uninterrupted sleep a night.
8 to 10 hours is quite long. Like, I remember you know, during high school, it's you always fighting with your parents to go to bed or to stay up a little bit longer. And then, you know, in your phone, in bed on your phones and stuff like that. I didn't realise that it was, I kind of just thought, you know, from 13 upwards it would be 8 hours kind of thing.
I suppose it does depend on the individual child, and some children can manage with slightly less sleep than others, but the guidelines are across a broad range. And often the impact of not wanting to go to sleep at night or having your phone under the covers, etc., is that when the time comes to get up in the morning and you've only had 7 or 8 hours, you're feeling very fatigued and not really ready. I don't know if you remember that feeling the next morning. Being woken up. So it's, you know, if possible, parents are asked to encourage routines, you know, bedtime routines and wake time routines. Now, you know, as an oldie, I actually find that much easier. I really like going to bed at the same time and getting up at the same time in the morning. But I know that's an awful lot harder, and especially for adolescents. But if you can get into a rhythm of sleeping and waking at the same time, that's really healthy.
What I'm picking up from this is that routine is key.
Yes.
I love a good routine.
Yes.
Now, we were just talking about technology. Let's talk about technology and social media. They are, like, we can't get away from it. They are large factors in children's and adolescents' lives. So it can be difficult for parents to restrict their use. But can you give any advice to help out there, especially to reduce screen time?
Yes, well, today's society, as we all know, screens are ever-present, and it can be a really, really difficult challenge for parents. It is part of our society day in, day out now, in schools, at home, at socially. The recommendations basically are that screen time should be limited to 2 hours per day for children. Very limited screen time is highly recommended for toddlers, and in fact no screen time at all is recommended for babies.
So babies is from 0 to 8?
Babies 0 to 1, but ideally 0 to 2. There will be more refined recommendations coming out soon, but at the moment the recommendation is that children under 2 should have minimal or no screen time.
Wow, how do you get them to, like, especially adolescents, how do you get them to not look at the screen? I wouldn't know.
It's a very difficult challenge these days. Obviously, you know, years ago when we didn't have screens, we had other pursuits. So that's one of the things, I suppose, in terms of, let's look at the under 12s that parents can look at. So providing other opportunities for downtime at home, instead of actually sitting, looking at an iPad or sitting, staring at the television, perhaps providing opportunities for reading, jigsaw puzzles, Lego, creative tasks. I know my kids, when they were young, actually quite enjoyed craft and painting and trying to just make the daytime activities interesting during the downtime, as well as providing the required amount of physical activity every day. It certainly is a mammoth task, though, these days, and I think it's not just children that have a problem with a lot of screen time.
Yes.
I think it's across the board.
I'm guilty. Yes. I've got to put my hands up. I read books on my phone before I go to sleep, and I read like a real book, a real paper book the other night, and it was completely different, and I absolutely loved it. And
that's wonderful.
I know, I'm like, this is a big step.
It is wonderful to try something different. One of the other things, though, that parents possibly can do is to try and break up the screen time. I'm not saying the screen time over the recommendations is good, but it is a challenge, and it's recognised as a big challenge for parents. So maybe taking an opportunity to take breaks, to take intervals, to, you know, let's watch a little bit more of that tonight. Let's leave that now and we'll come back to it later. Perhaps not providing children with iPhones to distract them when they're a little bit fractious, and seeing if you can find something else. But yes, I know I'm talking about the ideal, and I know it is a very challenging thing for parents at the moment. And adolescents.
So if anybody would like to get a little bit more information, where can they head to?
The information about the 24-hour movement guidelines are on the Australian Department of Health website. There are also some lovely posters that can be used for schools or community areas that list out the guidelines, and the information is very nicely laid out and available for parents. But parents can also talk to local community members like child health nurses or GPs or their local child and adolescent health staff if they want any more advice or guidelines.
And thank you so much for being with us on Twitter Happier today.
It was a pleasure, Georgia. Thank you for having me.